Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I want to begin today with a story. I'm here to tell you that powerful people hate one particular person so much that they have decided to murder him. Now, they should presume that person innocent until proven guilty, but instead, they are doing everything possible to manipulate the system by conspiring secretly, paying bribes, perverting the truth in the courtroom, and twisting the truth to the public. The powerful people want the public to side with them. The powerful people want the public to hate the one they hate, and the powerful people want the public to approve of their murderous plot. What's going to happen? What will be the outcome? Will it be truth and justice, or will the masses follow the evil liars to their own eventual destruction? What's going to happen? Let's see as we return today to the Holy Week journey. This is sermon number 11 of 14. It's Good Friday, it's the middle of the night, and Jesus has just been arrested. That's where we pick up now. Here we are, day 30, Jesus is now before the council. So he's been arrested, he's been taken before the council, but he doesn't go to the council first. If we think about what the Bible tells us, it tells us that first of all, upon being arrested, he was taken to Annas, the former high priest. Second, he was taken before Caiaphas, the current high priest. And then he was taken before the council, in other words, the Sanhedrin. The Bible says here, picking up in Mark chapter 14, verse 53, "Then they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together." Peter had followed Jesus at a distance, and because Peter was with John, who personally knew the high priest, they went right into the courtyard of the high priest, and Peter was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. So keep in mind, weeks earlier, the Jewish leaders had decided, we must put Jesus to death. There was no question about that. They were just trying to do something to make it look legitimate. Did they succeed in that? We can see right through it. Maybe some of the people were duped, but were not, though. It was totally illegitimate what they did. It was thoroughly selfish what they were doing, and it was absolutely evil what they did to Jesus. But God the Father and Jesus himself, they permitted it all for our eternal benefit. The Bible says now, "Some stood up and began to give false testimony against Jesus, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.' Not even in this respect was their testimony consistent." I want to say two things here. Number one, when Jesus said destroy and build, he wasn't talking about the temple building itself. He was talking about his own body. In a sense, he was saying to those Jewish leaders, you can murder me. However, God the Father will raise me from the dead on the third day. That's really what was going on there. And then they had this problem with having two consistent witnesses. We saw that from the Old Testament reading earlier, where it was required to have two consistent witnesses in order to be able to put someone to death, and they could not even accomplish that. Continuing in the booklet, we jump over to day 31, but we still have Jesus before the council. Now, if we think about what's going on here, it was a little bit more orderly up to this point. Everyone is gathered, the witnesses are being brought in, but the problem is they were not being consistent. We could say the whole scheme to make it legitimate was basically unraveling. So what happens now? The Bible says the high priest stood up. In other words, he needs to intervene. He needs to take action before the whole thing falls apart. So the high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning Jesus and saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus answered, "I am." And then Jesus said, "You shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." In a sense, Jesus was saying there, realize this, right now, you guys are standing in judgment upon me, and you know that your judgment is false. However, understand, one day I will come in all my power and glory, and you will be under my judgment. They should have somehow realized that, but yet they didn't. They were so blinded to what was going on. So the Bible says then, tearing his clothes, the high priest said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?" My question is, what blasphemy? When we think about Jesus, we know who he is. We know he really is the Christ. But for these Jewish leaders, though, their own wickedness had so thoroughly blinded them to who Jesus really is. There's an important passage in the Bible on this topic here. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "All will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness." That's what was going on with those Jewish leaders. And unfortunately, that's going on with a lot of people in the world today. They so much want to continue in their wickedness. They so much want to be closed off to the saving truth of God, which can set them free. And ultimately, if they continue in such ways, they will condemn themselves for all eternity. And then the Bible says, they, talking about all the different members of the Sanhedrin who were gathered there, they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Why were they saying he's deserving of death? Because he said, "I am the Christ." The thing is, though, that is true. So he didn't blaspheme. He wasn't deserving of death at all. But yet that's the conclusion they came to. And then the Bible says, some began to spit at him and to blindfold him and to beat him with their fists and say to them, "Prophesy." And the officers received him with slaps in the face. Let's think about a key element of what's going on here. I mean, here are these wicked men so thoroughly abusing Jesus. Jesus is permitting it to happen. He could have stopped it at any moment, but he didn't. He permitted it to happen. But even more extraordinary, though, is that all the abuse they were heaping on him, he was going through a process to remove the sins of those very men. So even though they did horrible things to Jesus, because Jesus lived for them, because he suffered for them, because he was about to die for them, through Jesus, there was forgiveness available for those men who spit on him and beat him. Now, did they repent? Did some of them repent? We don't know that. What about today? Think about people who have murdered their children. Or think about people who are characterized by being liars. or think about people who have just done horrible things in their lives. Sometimes people can do such horrible things that they're thinking, I know I've messed up big time. I know I'm done for eternity, and there's nothing I can do about it. God wants everyone to know that because of who Jesus is, and because of what he did in living a sinless life and in receiving our sins and receiving the wrath of God upon himself, he wants everyone in the world to know that he has made the way for full forgiveness for everyone. God wants everyone to receive that forgiveness. How is that received? That is received through godly sorrow and that gift of faith by which God must give us in order to trust in Jesus for our entrance into heaven. I hope all of you have those precious blessings. If you don't, let's talk about it. God wants you to have it. God wants the entire world to repent and believe and be blessed forever and ever. And then coming finally to day 32, we come to Peter denying Jesus. So it was just a week ago when we talked about the prediction that Jesus made that Peter would deny him. And now we come to the denial itself. Picking up in Mark chapter 14, verse 66. As Peter was below in the courtyard of the high priest, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene." But Peter denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out onto the porch, and a rooster crowed. If we think back to last week, when we were looking earlier in Mark chapter 14, Jesus told Peter, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. The servant girl saw Peter and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again, Peter denied it. That was the second denial. So far, we have two denials. We have one rooster crow. Then the Bible says, after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But Peter began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." Immediately, a rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times," and Peter began to weep. I want to conclude the sermon today by talking about the importance of us confessing Jesus and never stopping confessing him until we are finally with him. First of all, I want to go to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, "Whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." What does that mean to deny? It means to say, I have no relationship. So when Peter was questioned, three times he said, "I have no relationship with that Jesus. I don't even know who he is. Stop trying to associate me with him." That's what he kept saying over and over again. What did Jesus say about salvation? Think about the prayer he prayed to God the Father there in John chapter 17. He prayed, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the essence of eternal life is knowing God the Father, knowing God the Son. In other words, being in relationship with God the Father and God the Son. And three times Peter said, "Oh no, I have no relationship with that person." It's such a serious thing that he did. What is Jesus saying? Because Peter said that, if he would not have repented, imagine Peter coming to the gate of heaven and Jesus would have said, "I don't know this person. Send him away. I have no relationship with him." In other words, Peter said, "I don't know who Jesus is." So then Jesus would have said to him, "Nope, I don't know who he is. Send him away." no relationship. A very serious thing here. We see something similar with what Paul wrote. If we deny Jesus, he also will deny us. If you think a few minutes earlier with what Lisa confessed, becoming a new member here at Bethlehem, she confessed the importance of Jesus. God wants us to know that is important too, so that's why right in our Lutheran confirmation vows, we make this statement. So we vow, and the Bible is clear on a vow. The Bible says, if you're not going to keep your vow, do not vow in the first place. In other words, God is saying to us, a vow is a very serious thing in the sight of God. We should be serious about it too. So what do we vow when we are confirmed as Lutherans? We vow to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. Where was Peter at? Peter is thinking, wait a minute, Jesus told us three times he's going to be arrested and put to death. If I associate with him, they might arrest me and put me to death. I better say, I don't know who that guy is. I have no relationship. I want to save my own skin. That's really what was going on there in the moment. It's a really tough and difficult situation. I want to share with you something that happened 9 years ago. So it was back in 2015 when Kathy and I were going to leave on Easter Sunday and travel to Nairobi, Kenya, and spend a little bit of time there with Reverend May. So we ended up flying out on Easter, but just prior to that, though, days before that, during Holy Week, I have the article here about what happened at Garissa University there in Kenya. So there were terrorists of the group Al-Shabaab, and they had come from Somalia about 200 miles into Kenya, and they went to the university there, and they ended up taking 700 students hostage. And then very quickly, they told all the students to lie face down on the ground. And then they identified which ones were Muslims, and they released them. And then, one by one, they are asking the others, are you a Christian? And when they said yes, they put them to death, one by one by one, until they had murdered 148 of them. Imagine lying face down and being in that group, and already so many have taken a bullet for Christ. And yet you know that person is coming. What are you going to do? Are you going to deny that you know Jesus? Or are you going to say, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I know him. He is my all in all. He is the one who gave me physical life. He is the one by which I have eternal life. I can't deny him no matter what. If you have to kill me, you have to kill me. But I can't deny Jesus no matter what. That's where God wants us to be. Thinking about Fox's Book of Martyrs, maybe some of you have read it. It goes back to the time of the apostles and is dealing with all these short stories on people who have been put to death for the sake of Christ. It's a very sobering book to read through. But there's a verse in the front cover of the book, and it's kind of the theme verse for what's going on with those people. It's out of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And it goes like this. And they overcame them, talking about the forces of evil, and they overcame them because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. That's describing the people in that book. In other words, what that passage is saying is they loved Jesus, they loved their relationship with him more than they loved their own physical lives. That's where God wants all of us to be. I want to conclude with this passage here out of Hebrews 10. I hope this is the theme verse for all of us. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. I would encourage anyone to memorize that verse. That's a great theme verse to live by. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. No service this coming Wednesday. We are in Holy Week now, so we have services on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Thursday, we continue the Holy Week journey. Jesus is going to be taken to Pilate. Jesus is going to be crucified, and Jesus is going to be mocked by many different people. That's coming up on Thursday. The Holy Week journey continues all the way through Easter Sunday. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, the Holy One of God, and by God's grace, by the working of the Holy Spirit, we trust in you. We are in relationship with you, and we thank you so very much. Dear Lord Jesus, at times in life, just like Peter, we may be tempted to back away from you. We may be tempted even to deny you, but we pray that you would fortify us, that you would strengthen us, that you would build us up so that never, ever will we deny you, but we will always gladly and courageously confess that you are the Christ, you are our Savior and Lord. We are in relationship with you. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.